I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Arash Kakpour joins me now, the co-artistic director of The Biting School, is the choreographer and one of the performers of Empty Handed, which begins tomorrow night, the 2nd of October, at the Fire Hall Art Center. The world premiere runs until Saturday, the 5th of October. I'll ask Arash about the piece and the themes explored therein, darkness, deception, and greed, all timely themes. It's a contemporary dance piece. I'll get Arash to tell us about the music, as well as the way this piece views the world. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets and information, and visit bitingschool.com for more as well. Arash is joined on stage by the performers Joe Lynn Lee, Marissa Gold, Haley Gawthorpe, and Antonio Summers Jr. We taped this interview last week. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Arash Kakpour. Mr. Kakpour, good morning.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for making the time.
Oh, not a problem. It's obviously a busy time, as just before you start this, this run at the Fire Hall. What is it like in these days? Is it excitement? Is it nervousness? How do you feel the days before you start a show?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I was just thinking about this last night. I was thinking, yeah, what is going on inside me in the middle of all the doing and dancing and checking in and emailing and all that stuff? You know, it's a mixture of feelings. It's like kind of what happens in the piece itself. We talk about so many emotions and so many scenes and so many landscapes in the piece that I feel, yeah, a lot of anticipation, excitement, and the world is starting to find out more and more about the piece as we go on. Like, the trailer is going to come out today for the piece. And I feel, yeah, I feel really, really, really excited, and I'm just checking in with myself to make sure I'm not overly excited. So I stay with the tasks, I stay practical with everything, and then I keep regulating myself and go as we have scheduled things. But overall, there's like, yeah, in the group is excitement. I can feel in rehearsals, and we're all just anticipating, kind of getting ready to have the audience there. So, yeah.
So what will the audience see when they go to the Fire Hall, October 2nd to the 5th? What will the space look like when they look at the performing area, the stage, if you will?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about it, and then obviously some of it is best to be seen in person. But we have a set design in the space, and they're wooden structures that I wouldn't want to describe exactly what they are, but they're wooden structures in space, and we have projection design that's on just one screen on the back of the stage or upstage, and we also have many, many props, and one of them includes a rolling table that's close to the ground, but which we call a coin or a pentacle, and in a way that represents wealth, emotional wealth, physical wealth, and actual, in a sense, money, wealth. So that's one of the main props that's like on a heavier side that's also wooden and rolls on stage, and we use it in different parts of the piece.
And in terms of what it'll sound like, I mean, music is always an important part of dance in general. You've given a lot of thought to, say, composition, say?
Yes, this is definitely my friend Alex Ma. We have been together, working together for the past 10 years, actually, now going into 11 years. He's done amazing composition for this piece, original composition, and many, many tracks that really fit the world of each scene. So they also reflect the bigger world of the whole piece, which is 75 minutes long. So each track and composition is crafted really carefully in a way to basically bring that scene alive. And it's quite dense. You could say, I think the composition has kind of ended up being really dense because of the inspiration I was going for. And it doesn't leave that much room for silence. But I think that's also become kind of the style of the piece, yeah.
And in terms of the audience's part, they do more than just, say, sit in the fire hall and watch this, right?
One of the things that I wondered about this piece in general in the beginning, that I wanted like more of an emotional participation and engagement. not a laid-back feeling that, you know, let's have a great Friday night. I do want people to have a good time. I want them to be engaged and connected to us. But one of them was like, how did I encourage people to bring their own stories in and actually have the enough space or invitation to feel that they actually, it is about them when they come to the show. It is not about just them, let's say, looking at what is Arash up to. And how do I encourage that? And I think one of them was that very simple participation in the beginning, but before the show begins, there's a piece of paper beside a very small installation where people will write down something they're prompted to, and then they bring that into the room with them. And that's become part of them actually feeling like, oh, I am actually bringing something in that's very tangible, that's written in my hand, and that they actually commit to. I want the audience to commit to their presence there. I want them to commit to the fact that they wrote that down, or they resisted to write that down. So then that way, we're committing, they're committing, and we can have a journey in a way.
Well, what is empty-handed? I mean, we'll talk about the themes of the piece. What does it say about today? I mean, I was reading about what the show Empty-Handed is about, and you know, it explores the themes of darkness, deception, and greed. Those are things that a lot of us are experiencing around us. Mm-hmm. We're feeling it a lot in our daily lives, in our culture especially. I guess it's important for a piece like Empty Handed to address those things, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a piece of his time. I believe I really have really thought about what needs to come out, and not necessarily what I would like to just share because I think it's great, you know? Mm. I wanted to go past that. I wanted to really show an essence of what I see in the world around me and inside me, and they're all interconnected, interlaced. But mainly was about greed. Yeah, I was addressing greed within myself, and I was thinking about, there's a lot of Eastern philosophy that addresses this, that, you know, in a sense, we come into the world empty-handed and we leave the world empty-handed. So there is no need to hold on to things, and then we're at a time where we're grasping at everything, we're grasping at our future, we're even grasping at fear. We are scrambling, in a sense, as a society, it seems, to just cope with reality, and it's difficult to see the daylight a lot of the times. I think I sense that around, and I've gone through a lot of challenges in my life in the past couple of years as well. So empty-handed, really, a lot of time is about, what is this excess that the piece addresses? Like, what is this excess that we are all after? Are we really looking for our essence through these things, or are we denying? How do we address this denial? So for me, that's, I don't know if that addresses that for you, but that's kind of like the reason I called it empty-handed.
And so when you're thinking about these things, preparing and staging, mounting a piece like Empty-Handed, do you come away in your daily life, in your outlook in life, with answers as to why we are?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I try to go in and not try to act like, oh, I know what I'm doing and I'm going to show it to everyone. Like, that would be a very egocentric way to think about it. But at the same time, the piece is also about ego. There's a section in the piece called Facing the Ego, and you know, we will most likely have it written on the screen so people know where we're at.
Yeah.
But it's almost like a chapter of the story, and so the answers, like, sometimes it's better questions. It's like, so I can ask myself, like, even after rehearsal, like, how am I facing my ego today?
Mm.
How am I facing my ego this month? And then, do I really want to address it? And how am I going to address it? So, and a lot of those come back to the core questions of, like, what am I here to do? What did I come here to do? And where am I going? And that is usually, I think, a good starting point for me to begin to work with, like, towards getting closer to my essence and what I'm here to do as a human being.
What do you say to people, though, when they say, well, we need to have an ego, we need to be a little bit greedy, just to survive, to get through life every day?
Well, to people, yeah, I've found that we do need to face our egos, but we don't need the greed.
Mm.
And the greed has got us here, right? Like, you know, if you look at what's happening with the governments and the politics, and, like, in all around the world, right? Like extremists have come up, right? Like
right.
on all sides, there's extreme, and that's the ego, and that's the this like these patterns that we're attached to, and we're grasping on with fear instead of going back to love, like connecting to our hearts and saying, look, what I don't maybe need this much. I don't maybe even need this much food. I don't even need that much space to live if I actually live from a place of love. And that's basically why I'm bringing it up. And I feel that greed is actually, in a sense, represents the devil in the piece. And I think in general, we could say it's the bad thoughts. It's the terrible habits that we don't want to face. And so facing the ego is really about saying, look, there's all these things I don't need in myself. And instead of looking out there for it, I can look inside. And then I change, and then more people change, and we help each other change. And then together we have a better world. I mean, it's easier said than done, of course, but that's the essence of it.
Yeah, but that's a wonderful thing about the arts, isn't it? About creating art that you're able to deal with a lot of things that you need to deal with, and I'm sure the audience will need to deal with in a piece like Empty Handed.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I think dealing is a great word, because we're in September 2024. It's an intense time of the world. The last few falls have been really intense. Like
yeah.
every year something intense has happened. And I'm hoping that this piece can be a gift, like a small gift where we begin to prepare ourselves for this, what's coming in the world in the fall and beyond. But I really feel like, yeah, I hope that it actually allows us to deal with the reality we're with instead of resisting and running away from it. That's what we're looking for to do in the piece. Like, I mean, you'll see themes of it about dealing with reality, like dealing with the ego, dealing with greed and darkness, and kind of what I was saying in another interview is that meeting the dragon on top of the mountain instead of saying, oh, there's a dragon, I don't want to go. But you know, the dragon, it's like mythology, right? The dragon is holding the gold. So we must go to the dragon and meet the dragon. And that's really what it's all about, meeting the darkness in order to see the light on the other side.
So you are hopeful that there is light on the other side. I guess there always is, isn't there? But we just...
There always is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like just, you know, there's something about being toxically positive, and I've definitely been that person before.
I love that. I love that.
You know, we're like, okay, we're being toxically positive, and we're now in denial. So where is the line? And part of it is that I wanted to address that in myself as well with this scene. I was like, with this piece, and people said, oh, you're so positive. And then I thought, well, maybe I'm not being genuine in where I'm at. So this piece, partly where it goes into darkness so much and intensity, is to actually say, well, maybe there's the light on the other side of the darkness, and we do have to go through it, though. We can't just skip it. And look for the good parts. That's when it becomes, I think, toxically positive and in denial.
Yeah.
So in a sense, I just see that, you know, the fact that we're alive, there's hope. You know, the fact that I'm breathing, there's already hope. I don't even need to confirm that, you know. So I just have to commit to the fact that I'm alive, and in a way, by understanding there's death, I'm choosing life.
Yeah.
So, you know, I accept that I'm going to die one day, and I will lose a lot of people around me that I love, that I will have to be through them leaving this world. And that way, it gives me the permission to choose life instead of fear, instead of greed, instead of doubt, and instead of deception and lies and all of that, which is really part of what all these characters in this piece are based on.
You know, you're a marvelous storyteller. This is one of your great gifts in terms of your work, in terms of your career.
Thank you.
Was it something that came easily to you? I mean, like, did you have that ability early on?
You know, honestly, no. Thank you so much, by the way, for that interview. That gives me a lot of hope. I appreciate it. Thank you. And you're asking great questions, so I'm actually able to just say whatever feels close to my heart. I grew up with I can't say a lot, but I grew up with a speech intimidation. It's funny, as I'm saying it, I'm just mixing up my speech. I grew up with a speech impediment, like, or problem, and it was very difficult to understand, like, that there is any daylight on the other side of it,
yeah.
that I could get through it, and I thought that was going to be for the rest of my life. And that was really strange because I didn't even know you could get help. I didn't know what you could do. People around me didn't know, I think. And you know, it's just how it was. And it's become a blessing because that's the reason I chose dance in my own mind as a young, you know, 17, 18 year old. I was like, you know what? I'm going to choose something that is less talking in it.
Mm.
And it's the weirdest thing to choose dancing, which is not a career, really, like in this kind of thing we're doing, physical theater, dance theater. And so I thought about physical storytelling. Then I realized that I'm, again, escaping this talking because of fear of being ashamed, fear of embarrassment in public. And so I began to work on my speech problem a bit more around 20, and really it's taken a long time. But that's also okay. That's been part of my journey, yeah.
You know, we started the conversation, Arash, talking about, how you prepare for a performance, we were talking several, days before the show actually starts at the Fire Hall. You're a dancer. You perform physically. How do you prepare physically? I mean, what is your day like in terms of, are there certain things that you don't do the day of a performance? Like, I mean, you're not going to help someone move probably, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, we do a lot of physical activity. Like, regular weeks is, like, usually in the morning, just, like, a morning routine and, like, stretching, meditation, setting up the day in terms of what I'd like to get out of it, and then go to a class or our own warm-up in rehearsal, and then do some rehearsal. And then in the evening, sometimes if I feel like there is not that much to do, I try to do exercise, like an hour exercise in the evening. And then, so that's, like, 4 or 5 times a week. And then that's kind of the setup. And then in terms of a show day, we save our energy. Like, we really make sure that we get some sunlight if we can, really rest a lot, not exert a lot of energy so that we leave it for the stage. Especially for a piece like this, it's definitely demanding, and a lot of different characterization and energy shift happens in it. With the piece, usually the morning we'll wake up again, do a class maybe, and then get together, warm up, chat, check in verbally, and then go through some material, and then do the show, yeah.
And then what is it like after a performance? Is it hard to come down after all that?
Yeah, it's quite a high. I mean, I'm actually trying to figure out how to close this show with everybody, because I feel like something really big happens. Like, it's really intense, I think, to go through. It's quite a journey, and it can bring up things that we don't even expect sometimes. And I think that's part of this piece, and I think it's also part of the challenge. So it's like I'm actually trying to figure out, what does each piece need at the end. And each performer sometimes has their own rhythm and things they do. But, yeah, it is quite a high usually after a piece like this, and just kind of coming down from it is a challenge to be like, hey, instead of, like, grabbing a couple of whiskey drinks, can I just sit down with myself and write down a couple of things that came up for me, one thing that, maybe felt, like, intense, too much for me, and one thing that felt really beautiful that I can remember. And then that way it's kind of, like, closed. It's important that we do a closure of some kind with ourselves.
I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking today, Arash. You've given us a lot of advice, not just the stuff that you do in terms of your performance, your day before and after. These are things that will be helpful for a lot of people to employ in their daily life. So.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time today. I wish a dancer break a leg, or is that bad luck?
Yes. I honestly haven't figured that out yet, but yeah, that means a lot, and I appreciate your time, Joseph. Thank you for great questions and such a fluid conversation, and it's also inspired me to go back and keep thinking about the piece as we prepare. So really appreciate your time.
The website for tickets is at firehallartscenter.ca. Also visit the Biting School's website. That's at bitingschool.com. Empty Handed is at the Fire Hall Arts Center starting tomorrow night, Wednesday the 2nd of October through to Saturday the 5th. Its choreographer and one of the performers, Arash Kakpour, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.